Up next on Underreported, Antonio Regalado explains why the Brazilian government is building walls around Rio's favelas and whether they're intended to save the forest as claimed or to limit the growth of Rio's ghettos. This is WNYC and WNYC.org.
WNYC is supported by Nissan, presenting the Altima Hybrid, upholding the Nissan name, naturally. More information is available at NissanUSA.com. Look closer. Nissan delivers. Cultural arts partner, the Queen's Museum of Art, presenting Tarjama Translation, featuring the work of artists from the Middle East, Central Asia, and their diasporas. The exhibition explores processes of cultural and artistic translation. Details at queensmuseum.org.
New York City's own station, WNYC, in the city where more than 7 million people live in peace and enjoy the benefits of democracy.
WNYC AM and FM.
Today on Soundcheck, a look at President Obama's cultural team and the future of arts funding. Find out what the president's appointees will bring to the National Endowments for the Arts and the Humanities. That's coming up at 2 on 93.9 FM WNYC. Walls are being erected around the poorer areas of Rio de Janeiro that are called favelas. The Brazilian government says they're eco-barriers intended to protect the heavily forested hills that surround the city. But opponents see something much darker in the walls, ghettoization. On today's second underreported segment, we will take a look at the rush to box Rio in with Antonio Regalado, the Brazilian correspondent for the Wall Street Journal. Welcome to our show.
Hey, how are you? Thanks for having me.
I'm okay. Can you describe a typical favela and how many of them are there in Rio?
Well, there's quite a lot. They date from the end of the 19th century, and there's the last tally is there's 968 favelas. And the ones that are most prominent that you'll see as a tourist in Rio de Janeiro are on very steep hills that are right behind the fancy beach neighborhoods. And climbing up one of these favelas, I can tell you from personal experience, it's an exhausting process, because it really is quite steep, and they're covered with, kind of inexpensively built houses made out of brick, and in some cases even just sort of wood and plastic. It's a real shanty town.
Have they been officially planned by the government, or do they just appear?
No, they're not officially planned. For the most part, they are, illegal neighborhoods, essentially, where people in need of housing simply started to build up on Rio's hills, and over time, and because of the lack of public policy, really, to provide affordable housing, they've grown.
And you're right that many Brazilians pretend that the favelas don't exist.
Right. Yeah. I went around Rio and I collected different maps, and most of these maps don't even show the favelas. And I even went as far as to call the people who make GPS systems for rental cars, and they've also made efforts to sort of disappear the favelas and make sure nobody ever goes in. So they're sort of there, but at the same time, invisible.
And why is that? Are they embarrassed? Are they shamed by their existence?
I would say for people in Rio de Janeiro who don't live in the favelas, it's a kind of an equal mixture of fear and shame. Fear because the favelas, are the source of a lot of crime, and shame because, people are living in abject poverty just steps away from, some of the wealthiest areas in the country.
What percentage of Rio's population lives in them?
According to the last census, which was in 2000, it's about 1,100,000 people, which is about 20% of the city's population.
Wow. So That would represent the population of a small city in itself.
It is. And favelas have their own culture, their own history. A lot of people, were born in them, live in them, they're going to die in them. And, so they can't, it's not possible to get rid of them, basically. So the wall is, in a sense, an effort to just contain them and limit them as they are.
Because they're growing? Has the global economic crisis had an impact on the favelas?
I can't say whether the crisis has had an impact. Probably not, because the crisis hasn't been felt as strongly here in Brazil as in other countries. But they are growing. Between 1999 and 2008, over about 10 years, the area of favelas grew by just shy of 7%. Now, that doesn't sound like a lot, but you can imagine other neighborhoods don't grow. Like there in New York City, Chelsea cannot grow by 7%. If it did, it would be inside of the West Village.
Mm-hmm.
So really, favelas are the only neighborhoods in Rio that are expanding, and they're expanding into state forests.
And that's why these eco-barriers have been proposed?
That's right. That's what the Rio state government, which began building the eco-barriers and plans to build them around 13 favelas to begin with, cites the environmental reasons. They say that they don't want the favelas to expand because they'll expand into forest areas, and so the barriers are going up with that rationale in mind to save the trees.
So it's only in that in the back of the favela. It won't limit access in or out of the favelas from Rio itself.
Right. Well, that's an interesting point. The barriers that are going up, they're basically separations between the favela and the forest, and that will leave the entrances, the typical entrances that people who live in these slums would use. There's a main entrance to the street, and often behind on the top of the hill there'll be another way to get in and out. But in the favela that I visited, Dona Marta, they are really, on one side they have a natural barrier, a cliff, and then running along the other side they have a wall. So they really are sort of pinned in, although they can freely come and go through the usual entrance to the street.
Well, one man you interviewed for your story, Luis Carlos da Silva, was helping to build the wall, but also was thinking of ways that he'll get over it once it's erected. So do you think that the barriers are likely to have much of an effect?
I think that they could have quite an effect because they are pretty impressive walls. It's about 10 feet high, about 6 inches thick, made of cinder block. It's not easy to get over. It's possible to get over, but you'd need a ladder or you'd need to do something to get over it. And basically, the people who live in the favelas are used to being able to come and go into the forest where they can pick fruit or just hang out. Sometimes they dump trash. You can imagine if someone built a wall between you and your backyard, how you might feel about it.
Are any upper and middle class neighborhoods in Rio that border on the forest getting their eco barriers as well?
Well, that's one of the interesting things about Brazil. The upper and middle classes live behind walls already. Any apartment building practically in Rio and in Brazil is going to be surrounded by a wall or a fence and have a guard. That is the way the wealthy live in Brazil already. They fence themselves in order to protect themselves from Brazil's poor.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the rationales provided by the Rio's government is that people in favelas deserve a wall just as much as the wealthy do.
But the difference is that those people in the upper middle class areas are doing that to protect themselves. You get the feeling that these walls are there to keep the people in the favelas out of the other areas. In fact, a Nobel laureate, Jose Saramago, said of the walls, "We had the Berlin Wall, we have the walls of Palestine, now the walls of Rio."
Yeah, you definitely get that impression, and that's why it's created a big debate in the city about, you know, what is the real purpose of these walls.
Well, how much? Go ahead.
Yeah, you've mentioned some other walls. I mean, if you look at walls through history, the Great Wall of China, there's walls in Baghdad separating Sunnis from Shias. There's Israel's wall around the West Bank, the U.S. wall with Mexico. If you look at the history of walls, it's usually to separate, you know, two civilizations or two peoples that just don't see eye to eye. So given the history of walls, it certainly makes you think that they're going up there to separate people.
We have very little time, but I wonder about how this affects the Brazilian political scene affects this. The governor, Sergio Cabral Filho, of Rio de Janeiro's governor, is a conservative. On the other hand, the Brazilian president, Luiz Inácio Lula da Silva, is a populist, the sort of president, the sort of politician that people in the favelas vote for.
That's true. That's absolutely true. And the president of Brazil, who is extremely popular, has not said anything about these walls. He has so far avoided the issue. He, with a word, could endorse them or could stop them. But he has close allies with the governor of Rio. And so, for the time being, the president of Brazil has not made any comments.
And now we have the Olympics being proposed for Rio, and we'll find out how they play out. We'll come back to you, I hope, Antonio, on this matter. Antonio Regalado is the Brazilian correspondent for The Wall Street Journal. And we've been talking about the walls that have been being built behind some of the favelas, the famous slums of Rio de Janeiro. On tomorrow's show, why Lyme disease is so often misdiagnosed. And actress Patricia Clarkson and Evan Rachel Wood talk about their roles in the new Woody Allen film, Whatever Works. And then we will put our noses to the grindstone and investigate the history of idioms. Plus, Please Explain is all about the atmosphere. The Leonard Lopate Show is produced by Blakeney Schick, Stephen Valentino, and Julia Corcoran. Melissa Egan is the executive producer, and we had help today from Miranda Schaefer, Nicole Silversack, and Sherry Shen. Debbie Fountain and Dimitri Krasny were at the audio controls. I'm Leonard Lopate, your host. Thanks for listening. Have a great day. We'll see you tomorrow.